11. I'll ask you to turn there in your Bible, in your app, or whatever it is you've got, Hebrews chapter 11. It will be projected on the screen above me as well, and you can follow along. I'm going to read this chapter, or this portion of the chapter, Hebrews 11, 8 to 16, and please receive it as what it is. It is God's holy word. By faith, Abraham, 2000 BC, obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11, 8 to 16. Let's bow and pray together. We thank you, our Father in heaven, for this time gathered as the people of God in this place. Thank you that we have Bibles, that we have the Word of God, and the presence of the Lord Jesus, where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. And we pray, our Father, that your word may prove to work powerfully in each of our minds and our souls today. We pray that it would accomplish its intended purpose to lead some to Jesus Christ, where they may find the pardon of their trespasses and the gift of everlasting life, and to lead those who are in Christ to greater maturity and trust in him and in the holy word of God. So, Father, have our hearts, do with us as you will, instruct us about your kingdom and your ways, we pray in the name of Jesus, with thanksgiving, amen. Title of today's sermon, put it up, is Abraham and Sarah, Models of Saving, Persevering Faith. Abraham and Sarah, Models of Saving, Persevering Faith. So it was Mark Twain, we are told, I know a lot of things get blamed on Mark Twain, and who knows who really said them. Mark Twain is reported to have said, "The more I know about people, the more I like my dog." There are people that are like that. You might prefer your dog, but there are also some very wonderful people on the planet. Hope you know some. And today we're looking in God's Word at some of the most wonderful, Abraham and Sarah, husband and wife, 2000 BC. Wonderful, wonderful people. They were like us, sinners, but redeemed by the grace of God. But sin remained, and so they didn't always get things right. And the Bible doesn't hide that from us. The Bible tells us about their errors and their sins. But in the passage we're looking at today, we see Abraham and Sarah at their best. We see Abraham and Sarah when they were getting it right. And so in this passage, they are particularly models for us of saving and persevering faith. A little review. We've seen in verse 1 a definition of faith. We've seen in verses 2 through 7 last week, we saw faith in people from creation through Noah, the antediluvian period. Last week, we also saw in verses 8 through 22, or rather than today, we saw Abraham and Sarah and their heirs. We're seeing that today, 8 to 22. Let's go to 11:8. By faith. I remind you that phrase, by faith, occurs 18 times in the chapter. What is the chapter about? It's about living by faith. Not blind faith, faith in the Word of God. By faith, Abraham did something. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called by God to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. So here's Abraham as a model of saving and persevering faith. God audibly spoke to him, and God said to him, Abraham, go to the land that I'll show you. Where is it, Lord? Abraham might have asked, and the Lord might have said, I'm not telling you, just start moving and I'll get you there. That's how it went. Go somewhere. I'm not telling you where, just start moving. And Abraham obeyed. His obedience was not works of righteousness. His obedience was not something by which he became an heir of everlasting life. His obedience was a fruit of his faith, his saving and persevering faith. His obedience came because he had what the Bible calls a new heart that's awakened to the things of God, that wants the will of God. Abraham was a man of faith, and he obeyed when he was called to go out. Let's keep our finger here, Hebrews 11:8, but go back to Genesis chapter 12 and see what the author is pointing to. See what the author is working from. Genesis chapter 12, here it is, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. Leave everybody you know. Leave the place you know. To the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That is through his greater seed, who is Jesus Christ. And that portion from Genesis 12 is known as the first installment of the Abrahamic covenant. Here God covenants with Abraham to grant him as a great patriarch land and seed and blessing to all peoples and a great name. And Abraham obeyed by faith. When you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you get a new heart. You get the forgiveness of your sins. God does that for you. You get the free gift of everlasting life. God does that for you. But he also does something in you, and that is he gives you what the Bible calls a new heart. What do new hearts do? They love new things. What do they love? God, the things of God, the kingdom of God, the word of God, the will of God. So that now in Christ with your new heart, when God in the Bible speaks to you and gives you a command, you say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Oh, Lord, give me grace. I want to do your will by faith, not as a work of righteousness by which I please God and he gives me as my reward eternal life, but as a fruit of the faith that I have in him and his word. Let's be like Abraham. Men and women, let's be like Abraham. When God speaks in his word, we say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Verse 9, Hebrews 11:9. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise. That was Canaan. That became Palestine. It's a war zone these days, or part of it is. But by faith, he went to live there. He left family, left home, left everybody. And he went to live in this place, this land of promise, as in a foreign land. Ask me if I want to go live in a foreign land. Well, no. I might like to live somewhere better with the political thing that's going on, but where would that be? And if you found somewhere better, don't go there because it won't last long. So he went in the land of promise as in a foreign land. I'm going to live in a foreign land. It gets worse. Not only living in a foreign land, living in tents. How many of you want to live in a tent? I know there are people, I say it respectfully, there are people living in tents around us. They should receive our prayers. But the reason for these tents was not the same as the reason for those tents. They lived in tents because they were backpacking, going somewhere. They were on a trip, carrying what they could in a pack, in a wagon, and whatever. Living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, their boys, heirs with him of the same promise. So God spoke to Abraham and said, start moving. Abraham left Haran and set out for Canaan. It's a sticker on the rump of their camel, Canaan or bust. Another sticker, Soli Deo Gloria, God's glory only. They landed in Shechem. They went to the oak of Moreh, built an altar there to the Lord. They began to worship. They worshiped. And from there, they went to the hill country east of Bethel, built an altar to the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. He's traveling, and he's still a man of faith in God. Then he went down to Egypt, and then he went back up to the Negev. Then he went to the place where he had built an altar near Bethel, and he called upon the name of the Lord. So Abraham travels and calls and worship, and travels and calls and worship. This is what a man of faith does, or a woman of faith, all the way through life. You go where God wants you, you call upon his name, you worship him. Would you have? And I think all you who name the name of the Lord, you would. If God spoke to you and said, leave Maryland, you'd probably say, thank you. I don't know. Finally, Lord, can it be South Carolina, coastal? No, if God said, leave, you would go and travel to a foreign land. If God said you're going to be living in a tent for a while, you and your kids, you'd say, bless the name of the Lord. You would, wouldn't you? Because you want the will of God and you're willing to go where he would send you. Most of you would. But now it gets better. Why did Abraham go? What was he expecting more than you'd expect? You'd expect so he could inherit the promise, so he could inherit Canaan land. But it goes beyond that. Let's look at Hebrews 11:10. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, that city was not in Canaan. There wasn't such a city anywhere in Canaan. He was going to Canaan, but that was going to be temporary, and he knew it. He knew he's only going to live a few more years once he got there. He's 90, he's 100 in the story. He knew that once he gets there, he's not going to have everlasting life in Canaan. He knew he's going to die and go somewhere else forever and ever and ever and ever. And as a man of God, he believed he would be in heaven and not in hell. And so he was really looking forward to the city. The Bible teaches us that believers in Christ, followers of Christ, will not float around like angels in the netherworld forever and ever plucking harps. What a boring, terrible heaven. No, there will be a new heavens and a new earth that are far more glorious than this heavens and this earth. And righteousness will dwell in them. And that's what he really wanted. He was looking forward to that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He wanted the new earth. He didn't know all about it like we do. We know a lot about it. We have the New Testament. He didn't say, yes, just give me Canaan and I'll be satisfied forever. He was like, no, I really want to be in glory. I would really want to be in the new earth. I really want to be in a city made by God. And he fixed his eyes on it. He fixed his heart on it. And he pursued it. You who are followers of Jesus Christ, you understand. You too want that place. You too want that city. That's your hope. We have lesser hopes. Hope I get the job. Hope I can get married. Hope my cancer doesn't kill me. That wasn't a personal, I don't really have it that I know of. We have lesser hopes, but we have a great hope. Our great hope is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the everlasting kingdom that we'll inherit with him in glory. So Abraham was a man of faith. But now, ladies, not only Abraham, but Sarah. Be like Sarah. Sarah's a model. Elsewhere we see her flaws. Here we see her strengths. Be like Sarah. Hebrews 11:11. By faith, there it is again. It's 18 times in the chapter. By faith, Sarah herself. Why add the word herself? It's emphatic. He could have just said, by faith, Sarah, da 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 da. But by faith, Sarah herself. What does that mean? Like the Sarah. Like the one and only Sarah. Like the great Sarah in all of human history. Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Mrs. Abraham. By faith, Sarah herself. This was acting in her, not just him. She received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Hebrews 11:1. Now, to tell more of the story, you go back and read about this in Genesis. And what was Sarah's first response when Abraham said, God told me we're going to have a child? What was Sarah's first response? She laughed. Tee hee, good one, you funny man. He said, no, honey, I ain't kidding. This is for real. I'm serious. God spoke to me and we're going to have a boy. And she believed. At some point there, she believed. Because by now she's not laughing. By now she received power to conceive since she considered him faithful who had promised. She very quickly got to the point where she said, wait a minute. Okay, so I see God really did speak to you. We really are going to have a son. All right then, I believe. I believe the word of God. What the word of God says, I believe. And I believe it enough that I will act upon it as a fruit of my faith. She was past the age. I'm not a doctor, but you don't need me to explain that to you, do you? His body was as good as dead. He's 100. For reproductive purposes, he was as good as dead, right? And she's past the age, and God says, you two are going to have a boy. And they both, okay. We believe. She was like her husband in Romans 4:21. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's what we New Testament believers are. We are fully convinced that what God has promised us, he'll do. What is that? He'll forgive us our trespasses. He'll pardon us for our iniquities through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he will grant us everlasting life as a free gift, purchased for us by Christ on Calvary's cross. And we'll be in heaven and not hell forever and ever and ever. So ladies, make it your ambition, make it your delight, make it your desire to be a daughter of Sarah. Oh Lord, make me like Sarah. Make me a woman of faith like Sarah. I hear your word, I believe, and I act upon it, daughters of Sarah. While we're on Sarah, let's look at a particular instance back in that time, 2000 BC, of Sarah's great faith. Peter brings it out in 1 Peter chapter 3. In these days of anti-patriarchalism and in these days of marital egalitarianism, some of you are going to be shocked by what's here in the Bible. But Peter gazettes Sarah's great faith with his example, 1 Peter 3, 5 and 6. Well, start part of verse 1, then 5 and 6. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. That is still in the Bible. The word subject is also translated, means the same thing. Be submissive to your husband. He's head. God has appointed him head. He is the leader of the family. God appoints him as leader. You're his help. God appoints you as help. A help meet for him, and the wives are to be subject to their husbands. Verse 5, for this, I love this, this is how the holy women, like Sarah, who hoped in God, but she's not the only one, women, plural, this is how they used to adorn themselves. This is how they clothed themselves. So she's putting on her dress, but she's saying, this isn't really what endears me to him, me in this dress. She's putting on her makeup. Did they have makeup then? Yeah, they had makeup then. She's putting on her makeup. She's putting on some rouge. She's putting on some lipstick. And she's saying to herself, but this isn't really what makes me look good to him. What makes me look good to him is my heart. And my heart that is submissive to God and obedient to God wants what God says. And God says, he's my head. And so I gladly encourage his leadership of our home and our lives. They used to adorn, that's what they wore, by submitting to their own husbands. Now, verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Some of you just, your socks fell down. Calling him Lord. Now, you get the idea. Let's go to, say, medieval times, and you had the manor, and there was the lord of the manor and the lady of the manor, both very high people, the lord and his lady. She might call him Lord, yes, Lord, and curtsy to him. Try that with your husband sometime. I've been trying that for 39 years with Deb, 49 years, pardon me. Haven't gotten it yet, but there's still hope. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, she recognized that God has put him over me, over our home. He's my covenant head. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. What's the fear that could be frightening in the context? Him. You want me to be submissive to? You want me to follow the leadership of a man who's fallible, who's fallen, though redeemed, but he's still got remaining. You want me to be submissive to a man? That's scary. No, she said, that's not going to be scary. I'm going to trust God that this is right. I'm going to trust God this is good for my family. I'm going to trust God this is good for me. I'm going to trust God that even if the man doesn't lead well, I'm still going to trust God. This is what he wants. I'm going to do the will of God. If you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening, scary thing to be submissive to an imperfect man, but it is the will of God. And you do it by faith, trusting God, not ultimately that man. My husband is lord of the manor and I'm his lady. It's beautiful. He treats you like a princess. You follow him like the lord of the manor. Back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 12. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, I already mentioned that's where that came from, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore, Hebrews 11, 12. By faith, one man. Look what God can do with one man or one woman of faith, of saving, persevering faith in Jesus Christ. From one man, look what God did. Men, you be one man like Abraham. Women, you be one woman like Sarah. Here in the kingdom of God. Now, verse 13, really important, really wonderful. Hebrews 11, 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. Abraham and Sarah never received Canaan. They lived there. They never received it. They never saw their seed as the sand on the seashores or as the stars in heaven. They never saw that. They believed it their entire life. God will do this. God will do this. They died believing God will do this, and they died in faith. Faith from top to bottom, front to back, side to side, faith start to finish, faith all the way through. They believed God and his word, and they acknowledged, let's read on, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. This earth is not what we really want. I'm a stranger here. Followers of Jesus Christ, it will really help you if you reckon on that. If you reckon on that. I am a stranger here. Like stranger, like if we picked you up and sent you to Afghanistan today, would you be a stranger? You'd be a stranger. Like, I don't really belong here. I don't really fit here. I don't know these customs. I don't know these people. I'm a stranger here. Stranger like that. And they said, anywhere you put me on the planet, I'm a stranger here. And I'm an exile. What's an exile? They kick you out of the United States and you're exiled. You have to go somewhere else. I'm an exile. I really want heaven. I really want the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwell. And as long as I'm here, I'm a stranger, I'm a pilgrim, I'm an exile. Peter adds to this, 1 Peter 2:11, beloved, I urge you as sojourners, you're a sojourner, and exiles, you're an exile, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul, 1 Peter 2:11. So in this world, we are sojourners, we are strangers, we are exiles. Who are you? I'm a stranger. Who are you? I'm a sojourner. Who are you? I'm an exile. Let that be part of your fixed identity. That's who I am. Let's have a little moment of corporate confession. Would you say this with me together? We'll put it up. Here it is. Let's repeat this together. You who are believers with me. I am a sojourner and an exile. This is my temporary abode. Let's do it again, but louder now that you've seen it. I am a sojourner and an exile. This is my temporary abode. Say that 100 times every morning before you brush your teeth. It's true. Would you like a song to help you with this? It's a bluegrass song. How many of you like bluegrass? Yeah, Debbie and I love bluegrass. Very, very often when we're fixing dinner, we'll turn on music. And sometimes it's bluegrass. That's American music. And there's a bluegrass song called I Can't Feel at Home Anymore. You know it? I'm not going to sing it for you. No, I'm not going to sing it for you. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Google Jimmy Martin and the Sunny Mountain Boys. I can't feel at home anymore. Guarantee you, you'll tap your foot. Your parakeets, if you have them, will sing along. Ours do. Back to 1 Peter 2:11, please. Beloved, I urge you, as sojourners and exiles, that's what you are, abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. It makes you a holy exile. Back to Hebrews 11 and verse 14. For people who speak thus, what's the thus? I'm a stranger and an exile. People who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Like, I'm not in my homeland. Here in these United States of America, great country, so blessed and so thankful to be here. Would rather be here than anywhere else on the planet. But here in these United States of America, I'm not home. If you're in Christ, you're not home. You're a stranger. You're just a passing through. People who speak thus make it clear they are seeking a homeland, which is the new heavens and the new earth. Hebrews 11:15. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. So if they were thinking, what I really want is to go home, God told them, leave home, go to Canaan. Or what I really want is, they weren't thinking what I really want is home. They were thinking what I really want is heaven. What I really want is heaven. If their former home had dominated their thoughts, they could have gone back. But no, they believed the promises of God and they fixed their eyes and their hearts on heaven. Hebrews 11:16. But as it is, they desire a better country. I'll say it again. I love these United States. But I desire a better country. Amen? A heavenly one in which righteousness dwells. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, here's the result of that. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Wow, that's amazing. Are you telling me God is not ashamed of me? He's not ashamed to be called my God? Do you know me, Lord? And do you know them? You're not ashamed to be called their God? Those who are in, do you know them? Have you been watching? No, by grace, alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, he's not ashamed, but he gladly calls them his children. Blood-bought sons and daughters of the kingdom. He's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. When Jesus ascended, when Jesus went up, John 14:3, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. John 14:3. All right, so that's our text for today. Some observations. Couple of closing observations. Number one, therefore, it's a verse, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, it's like you're getting ready for war, get your mind ready, it's mental, kingdom action, and being sober-minded, that doesn't mean you can't have a sense of humor, hope you do, doesn't mean you can't laugh, I hope you do, a lot. But it also means, sober-minded means, you've got serious realities weighing upon your mind and your heart, kingdom realities, heaven and hell realities, the good of never dying souls realities, and so you're sober-minded. Doesn't mean your face always needs to look like the guy on the back of the iodine bottle. For those of you who don't know, it's a skull. No. Preparing your minds, being sober-minded, set your hope fully. Other versions of the Bible, set your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the last day. Set your hope fully on what happens then. So yeah, you got little hopes. Hope I get married. I'm looking at a couple. They're going to get married right here in, what, a month? I get to perform their ceremony. Yeah. What if Jesus comes tomorrow? Will you be disappointed? No, I guarantee you won't be disappointed. Yeah. We have little hopes, but we have a big hope. Set your hope fully, completely on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let's live like redeemed children of God. Let's live like Christians. We have our hope set on heaven's glory. That's what we really want. That's the country we really want. That's the city we really want. That's where we really want to be. It is through many tribulations that we must enter the kingdom of God. This is tribulation land. That's glory and rest and peace and joy forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Second observation, understand that your local church is a kingdom outpost here in the howling wilderness. A guy came up to me after the first service and said, that phrase howling wilderness just turned him on. He was all excited about the phrase howling wilderness. All right. Compared to heaven, this is a howling wilderness. It's where you live. It's where you are. But your local church is a kingdom outpost, an outpost of heaven, right here in the howling wilderness where you temporarily make your home, your church. It's kind of like you have your feet sort of in heaven when you come to church. But you're getting a foretaste of heaven's glory. You're getting a foretaste of the worship of heaven. You're getting the powers of the age to come dripping in upon you through the word of God and all the means of grace. Your local church is a kingdom outpost. Love it. Delight in it. Work for it, serve it, support it. It's a little piece of heaven on earth till Jesus comes. So that is our portion for today. May the Spirit of God move in our hearts and accomplish His intended purpose. Let's pray. Father, we pray for the salvation of those with us who are far from the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, O God, that you will open ears to hear and open eyes to see, that you will cause knees to bow and confess Jesus as my Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Father, you've been gracious to so many of us through Christ. We bless you, praise you, and thank you, and confess that we want to be like Abraham. Oh Lord, make us like Abraham. And we want to be like Sarah. Oh Lord, make us like Sarah. We want to be men and women of sturdy, solid faith in your word. Saving faith, persevering faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, O God, strengthen us, we pray, through your word, by your Holy Spirit today, for we ask in the name of Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Cornerstone pastors are